Glory be to God. In the short time we have with you, just for a few moments, we'll continue our series on, I said, our supreme identity and being separate and apart. But I think we're just going to morph it over, just be ye separate and apart, taking the King James Old English version of it. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Now, couched in this, of course, is our supreme identity. Remember, we talked about identification. We'll go over that again, too. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. You know, right there, you just need to let that say loud for a moment. Amen. Do we really believe that? Let's just pause and calmly think about that. Look down at it. Just look at it. For we are the temple of the living God. Yes. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. Therefore, as a result of that, go out from among them and be ye separate from them, says the Lord. And be separate from them, says the Lord. And be, that's the title, be ye separate and apart from them, says the Lord. And touch no unclean thing, then I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Isn't that something? God Almighty says, you are my son and you are my daughter. Lord, help us to really understand this. See, I've seen this. I've read this 100 times. We'll read 101. And maybe on the 101st time, it'll sink in, begin to sink in. Who you, remember, this is our supreme identity. Chapter 2, our tithe. Our supreme identity is first and foremost spiritual in nature, first and foremost. Again, not discounting the ethnic cultural side, but my, that's so further down. He said, you're my son and my daughter. We are children of the Most High God, and God is really our Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Why are you landing here and taking a moment here? Because I believe the Lord wants us to get this in us. And as we begin to let it really sink in who we really are, remember, supreme identity, mm-hmm. It's going to cause you to think differently and act differently. And that's the key. We'll live out the transformed life. Because salvation and the proof of it, redemption and the proof of it, is in the transformed life lived out before a watching world. It's not about what, you know, we talked about this many times. It's not about what you did, what confession someone made, what baptism you did, all that. It's about the aftermath. It's about the aftermath. It's about sanctification. Mm-hmm. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. It's that all a transformation has to take place. Do you live that life in your thinking, speaking, and doing? Is it transformed? Are you clearly different from the old self that was crucified with Christ Jesus? Those are the questions you must ask yourself. I must ask myself. We must ask ourselves daily, hourly. There must be continual self-examination. God himself says, if you are born again, if you have been regenerated, if you are redeemed, then you belong to me and I am literally your father and you are my sons and my daughters. Yeah, thank you, Lord, is right. Do we, Father God, help us to really understand who we really are, what our supreme identity is, and because of who we really are, because of what our supreme identity is, verse 17 again says, therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from among them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, because of who you are. Therefore, and I'll be a father to you, 18, and you'll be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord. And here's that transformation life. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. So you can't get away from it. From every defilement of body and spirit. External body, internal spirit, heart, core, thoughts, soul, intentions, plans, decisions, bringing holiness to completion in the fear, reverence, honor of God. They stuck up. Remember, the chapter delineations are not anointed. They stuck that in there. They should not put that in there. Just let it flow right on down. Come out. Be separate. Do that because you're my son.
Because you've been identified in verse 14 as righteous, verse 14 as light, verse 15 with Christ as a believer, verse 16, temple of God. Therefore, when you do that and come out from among them, touch no unclean thing, and he's a father to us. Since we have these promises, and these promises are, he's going to be our father. He's our father, rather. We're his children. We are righteous, light, Christ, believers, and temple of God. Because of all of that, let us now cleanse. He didn't say, just enjoy your identity. Enjoy your status and your position as children of God, sons and daughters of God, and me as your father. Just enjoy that and just go on about. No. So because you're that, chapter 7, verse 1 says, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement. That's a heavy word, every. That's why we should never be satisfied nor content with where we are, because we've gotten through one thing, at least today. That's no guarantee that one thing is going to be gotten, you're going to get the victory over that tomorrow. But you got through the one thing today, but he says every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion, to maturity. Let it maturate in the fear, reverence, honor, awe of God. We are righteous. We are light. We are Christ in Christ. We are believers. We are temples of God. And because of that, we are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. We are not to partner with lawlessness. We are not to have fellowship with darkness. We're not to have accord with Belial, another name for Satan, that is, which is wicked and evil. We're not to share with unbelievers. We are the temple of God. There's no agreement with idols. No agreement. No sharing. No accord. No fellowship, no partnership, no yoking, because of who we are. Be not unequally yoked. Turn over to Isaiah 52. No doubt, I believe the Apostle Paul, as he was moved on by the Holy Spirit, is referring to this verse in the Old Testament, Isaiah 52, verse 11. How many know that the Old Testament, the scrolls, and were there and available for them to study? Look at verse 52. Chapter 52 of Isaiah 11. Depart, comma, depart. Go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Does that sound a lot like what we just read? Go out from the midst of her. Purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. Go out from there. Depart. Touch no unclean thing. Won't even touch it. We are allowing the world to touch us, or we're touching the world. Let's put it this way. Touch no unclean thing. We're touching a lot of unclean things. How? How? Somebody can answer.
By association.
Yeah, by association. And in particular, with our minds. Because you may say, well, I'm not touching physically. But if you're seeing, if you're thinking, if you're listening, and we're not discerning, and they begin to influence. That's why the whole teaching, when the Black Lives Matter and the George Floyd and all, because there was a lot of poisonous things out there that were very harmful, very potentially very harmful for the people of God. And unfortunately, very unfortunately, it has changed the landscape somewhat of evangelical churches across America. I'm not in the know as much as the people who kind of keep their finger on that pulse, but it really ruined a lot of relationships. Folks who were once called friends now no longer get along because of this social justice, because of Black Lives Matter, because of all the other stuff. As a matter of fact, Dr. Bodie Bauckham said that there has been so much of a turmoil that there are those who we would once called heroes and giants of the faith have gotten caught up in these things, social justice and those sort of things. Giants and heroes of the faith. That's scary. When you're talking about somebody who's a giant and a hero, you're talking about someone who's mature, who we think understand these things. But even they were caught up. I know I heard from God in jumping on that right away so that we wouldn't be polluted with the things of this world. To try to protect your mind then. And we talked about supreme identity. We talked about embracing hardship. We are children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. He is our Father. We are righteous. We are the light. We are in Christ. We are believers and we are temples of God. Let's remember that. Verse 16, go back to 16. Oh, I'm sorry. You're in Isaiah, right? Go back to 2 Corinthians 16. 2 Corinthians 6, rather. Verse 16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? And in case you didn't understand who he's talking about, the very next sentence says, for we are the temple of the living God. So in case you didn't know who we was talking about, he makes it clear. We are the temple of the living God. We're not to touch the unclean thing with thought, word, or deed, let alone physical. We're not to let the unclean thing permeate our thinking, our speech, or action. So that means we have to be on guard hourly, minutely, depending on the environment you work in or your environment period. How often is the TV running? How often is the news running? How often? Think I got to cut it off. Think I just got to turn it off because it's just... And that's by design.
I don't know if you noticed it. Now, that news being on 24 hours, you can turn on the news any day of the week and any hour of any day. You got to realize when you start watching news and standing near conversation or have the radio on just aimlessly on talk radio shows and NPR radio, you got to be careful because those are not God-based programs. Why make yourself work harder? Oh, say this right. This, how about just turn it off? Just turn on the word. You know that's right. Well, depending on who you listen to. Let me back way off of that real quick. Depending on who you listen to. Why make yourself work so much harder? We got to discriminate. We got to be more discerning. Touch not the unclean thing. You got to realize what's all in that. Not just physical touching. It's like, because notice what he's saying. When he said, don't be unequally yoked, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness or fellowship? He's talking about not physical touching. You got to go back. When he says, touch not the unclean thing and touch no uncertain unclean thing, then I welcome you. Verse 17. Well, verse 14 is at the root of that. Don't be unequally yoked. Partnered with. You can partner with the world in your mind by agreeing with some things that are not God. Do you understand that? It's not necessarily just somebody in business, but you can partner with them in the thought, in agreement, in your mind. Having the same attitude that's not proper, that's not godly. You partnered with them. But all I know is all of that, man. I just thought, yeah. When he says, come out from among them, be separate and apart, doesn't that sound like, and be not conformed to this world? Does that sound like that to me? Am I in the right place? Amen. But be transformed? How? I'm telling you, you can partner here. You can fellowship here. You can share here. Gotta be careful. We must be careful. Don't let touch, just think about something physical. 17 again, therefore go out from their midst. See that? Get away from the whole situation. And be separate from them. Who? The lawlessness, the darkness, Belial, the unbelievers, and those who worship idols. Get away from them and be separate from them, says the Lord, who is our Father. And I, and said the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then, when all that's done, I will welcome you. And I will be a father. And you be sons and daughters to me. Our supreme identity is first spiritual. First, spiritual. A few more moments. Let's get into verse 14 in these few moments that we have of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Let's kick it off there. Again, we are identified as what? Righteous. We're identified in verse 14 again as light. We're identified as Christ, being in Christ, being believers, temples of God. Let's go back to the first command that sets it all off. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Unequally yoked can mean don't be bound to. Someone said mismated. M-I-S-M-A-T-E-D. Mismated. or yoked with another of a different kind. Is the righteous with lawlessness, is that not of a different kind? 1 John 3 and 4. Let's turn there real quick. 1 John 3 and 4. Speaking of lawlessness. I think it's 1 John 3 and 4. Yes. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices what? Lawlessness. So when he says, what fellowship has righteous with lawlessness? Who is he talking about? Sinners. For sin is lawlessness. We have no right being partnered with those who are lawless. Anomia. Who live as though there is no law. Nomia. Law. Ah. Negates the root. Lawlessness means to be mismated or yoked with another of a different kind, to be bound to, unequally yoked. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10. Am I going too fast?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit? Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Let me slow down a little bit. Chapter 22, verse 10. You're talking about being unequally yoked, mismated, bound to another of a different kind. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10. Okay, thank you. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. Now, you know you got some problems. If you got an ox, you got a big plowing ox on one, you got a donkey on the other. You know, you must be from the city coming out here doing that. An ox and a donkey? That is a mismate. Unless you don't want to get the field plow, unless you want to get one part of it, because the ox will do his part, but not the donkey. A donkey is called a beast of burden. What does that mean? He carries weight, then he rides. But the ox, he plows, his strength. That's a mismate. That is unequally yoked. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I want to show you that the word related to unequally yoked, it's related, not the exact word, but it's related to that word, a cousin of that word, tied to that word, the very short string, if you will. Philippians 4, verse 3. Philippians 4, verse 3. God help me. Okay. Verse 3. Yes, I ask you also, true companion. See the word true companion? If you read ESV, that word in the King James is true yoke fellow. That's the word that's related. Listen to this. Yes, I ask you, true yoke fellow, true companion, help the women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So look how closely related this word is. That true yoke fellow, true companion, they have labored side by side together and are fellow workers. See, you, when you're talking about being yoked up unequally, that means you, how can you work side by side and be a fellow worker when somebody who is mismated? Because the ox is going to do one thing and the donkey is going to do something else. It's not even, the natures are different even. Well, that would preach because you have the nature of Satan and the nature of God. How are you going to be yoked, mated, bound together?
I've said it for 22 years. I don't understand how a real, true, genuine Christian can have a sinner friend. Friend. Not an acquaintance, not somebody you have to work with, but a friend, somebody you hang with. I don't understand that. Because of the nature of Satan in them, Belial, and the nature of Christ in you, the temple of God, don't understand that. I'm not talking about further going into business and all way all in that deep. I'm just talking about just hanging with somebody. Like the Holy Ghost would have told you, dude, you know that's not going to work. Let's go back, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14 again, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't be mismated with, don't be yoked with another of a different kind. And a believer is someone of a different kind. Unbelievers are, you know, those are the unconverted, the unregenerated, those who don't know nothing of God, the unsaved, those who are spiritually dead, who have the nature of Satan, who is of their father, the devil. I just don't understand. You hear all of that. You got to recognize, oh, man, but he good people, though. Ain't nobody good but God. Amen. There may be some nice sinners, and they are, but I'm not going to be hanging with you. Hanging. Because the conversation invariably is going to be about to the things of God. Somebody's going to go that way eventually. Or he will go what his father's conversation is. Ooh, man, look at that girl. Cuss words may slip out. You know, the talk just kind of crazy. And then you're just stuck at dinner. He drinking a beer, drinking a lemonade, looking around like, oh, ain't nobody see me. Oh, Lord, I didn't know this dude was this crazy. Help me, Jesus. Why are you putting yourself in that position?
Amen.
Why? I'm talking about if you're born again. Now, if you're a sinner, y'all just hang, do your thing. But you both, you know, he saved and you not, or you saved rather, and they're not. Your spirit ought to be so disturbed. You're like, well, let me get up out of here. Dude, I got to go. I done made a mistake. And leave him standing at the bar. I got to go, man. Here, I'll pay your tab and my bye. Leave. That Holy Ghost in you, the Holy Spirit, ought to be just tearing you up. To hang with the unconverted, the unbelieving, the unredeemed, those who are still dead in trespasses and sins. We'll stop there. We'll finish up the B portion of what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with dark. We'll pick up with there next time. You communicate good. That's a good one. I'm not 100% sure, and I just spoke that to someone else too. Hold on 1 second. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Yeah, that's the King James version. Evil communication. You know, sometimes when I have to look up some, I don't remember all of it by heart. So thank God for the concordance. they kind of get on you. Certain people get on you for having to use that. But hey, you don't remember all of it. Communication corrupts good manners. Corrupt. And as much as I quote that verse,
1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Because that's exactly where we're going to go with that as well. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. And see, flowing in the Holy Spirit, because when we get more into those things, we're going to, this is going to be one of our verses. The ESV says, bad company ruins good morals. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. One bad apple does spoil the whole bunch. That's what this is saying. It's not about you being good can turn the other person, because your life, if God don't do anything with it, you're not going to turn that person's life good. And matter of fact, the word says just the opposite is going to happen. You hang with a sinner, look what's going to happen. Now, the sinner got me preaching on how I'm supposed to wait until we get there. But it's so good, though, isn't it?
Amen.
You can hear it again. Mm-hmm. That's why you need to be careful who your, well, everybody kind of older here. So who your grandchildren, I know you can't control them, but at least when they're under your care, you can control that narrative, at least for a short time, and hopefully plant a seed there. Watch out who's around your grandchild or who's around your little nieces and nephews. You control the narrative. You, they're in your home under your care, then you be careful that they don't watch anything crazy on TV. And tell them that. You know, granny, not to let you, uncle, not to let you, you know, do this here. A little so-and-so. Be seed planters. The best way to plant the seed, first and foremost, is through what? Your lifestyle, first and foremost, then teaching. Amen. You're valuable because you may not have children anymore, especially younger children. You still have, there's folks in the neighborhood, there's always somebody around. Okay. Yeah. How old are your Jimmy's children?
6 and 9.
And you've been around them basically all their life. That's crucial. Crucial. How old is little man? He came to church with us. Who?
Ezra?
No, I was talking to him. I was talking to Miss.
Sure.
Yeah.
H2.
Yeah, H2, yes. H2. Yeah, Harlan, right? Yeah. Yeah. How old is he now?
Nine, he'll be 10.
Wow, but he started coming around about 5 or something. Uh-huh. And Ezra was coming around back, almost at birth almost. Yeah.
Just fairly walk, probably.
And
Alexander.
Yeah. Henry and Zaire. They've been coming. I'm telling you, your parenting days are not over. Oh, well, good. Let me just kind of let my freedom and have a few. No, hold on now. We can start tossing stuff back. You guys, there's people that God has positioned for them to see and watch your lifestyle. Because they may not be getting it at home. And you're the only light that they're seeing. And if God is choosing somewhere down the road to use your lifestyle, let's make sure that we are walking as righteous, that we're walking as believers, that we're walking as children who are in Christ, that we're walking as temples of God. And realizing that we are not and can't afford to compromise ever. Father God, I beg of you, shock us back into righteousness, period. Do what you got to do if we ain't doing this thing right. If our thoughts are not right, slap us real good. Speech is wrong. Get us good. Conform us to the image of your dear son. Prune us that we may bring you maximum praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name. And the people of God said,
Amen. Amen.